You're listening to the only show that looks at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with your host, Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.
Welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. I'm your host, Doug Gefeller, and we're going to be talking about coaching resources, books, and websites. But hold on, we'll get to that in just a moment. If you're listening to this show live, then you are on octalkradio.net. Thank you very much. If you're listening to our podcast, then thank you again for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com, or perhaps you went to our Podbean site, dgefeller.podbeam.com. Also, be sure to check out our archives for other shows with some great guests, lots of information for both coaches, HR professionals, and business owners. Well, let me tell you about today's program. The title is Coaching Resources, Books, and Websites. However, what I was going to talk about has changed in the last 24 hours, all because of an ASTD lunch meeting that I attended yesterday. Rather than talk about many resources, I want to focus on one book and the creative thinking of the author of that book. Let me explain. This is not a book review or a synopsis of the book. Frankly, this book is just too darn good for me to do anything that would encourage you to not read it. Let me make it plain. Go buy this book and read it. Then teach it or discuss it at length with someone else. Then set aside some time to sit quietly and plan how you're going to apply it right now in your life and your business. We can all use this information and thinking in our lives. If you're a coach, you can use this system to help you provide more value to your clients. If you work in HR, then this will change the way you approach your next training or planning session. And if you're an executive, it's the blueprint that you've been looking for to pull your management team together and achieve breakthrough performance. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about the book, Making Yourself Indispensable, subtitled The Power of Personal Accountability. Personal accountability. I mean, hey, yeah. Producer's giving me the big X sign, personal accountability. That's enough to make all of us want to look for something else to read. This is not, you know, summer beach reading. But making yourself indispensable, hey, that sounds kind of cool. So I got mixed emotions about the cover, but I don't have mixed emotions about the content, let me tell you that. The author is Mark Samuel, and I'm a firm believer that before you start any book, you should know as much as you can about author, because the author's bias is what's going to influence the material that's presented in the book. And I want to know where the author's coming from, where they got their ideas before I start to buy into what they're going to say. Mark Samuel is the author. Mark is a thought leader, CEO of Impact, I-M-P-A-Q, an international consulting firm that guides organizations in achieving measurable breakthrough results within 6 months through a unique system that links execution, culture, and deliverables. Let me just stop right there. What he's claiming is that his system achieves measurable breakthrough results. How many of us in the coaching or HR field have been frustrated when we've had this great program that we wanted to present to our clients, and the response was, well, okay, what's it going to do? What's the results? How am I going to measure the impact? And we stand there and look silly and go, well, everybody's going to be happier. Everybody's going to feel better. That's not what Mark's talking about. The other unique thing about that sentence is that his system links execution, culture, and deliverables. You know, we hear a lot about culture these days, and it's all kind of feel-good stuff. But to link culture and execution and deliverables, that got me intrigued. Well, Mark's the best-selling author of the acclaimed Creating the Accountable Organization, and he's just released his new book, which is what we're talking about, Making Yourself Indispensable, The Power of Personal Accountability. As a top systems thinker, Mark developed a unique approach for establishing correlated, measurable results in execution, relationships, and deliverables that provides organizations an accurate and meaningful snapshot by which to lever improvement efforts. Based on his unique approach for diagnosing causes for the most complex organizational challenge and his rapid approach to achieving unparalleled and sustainable business results, his workshops are attended by the most seasoned senior consultants and executives. His work has affected and created long-term positive results and profit improvement in companies worldwide. I've got to share this with you. Let me give you a list of some of his clients, and I've cut out 50%, no, 75% of what I've found. The Royal Bank of Canada, Chevron Corporation, American Express, Gentech, Kaiser Permanente, Honda Corporation, Texas Instruments, University of California at Berkeley, and Michelin Tires in Paris, France, and Siemens. If those clients got value out of his program, this should keep you listening to this program and should keep you, should get you off the couch and out there buying this book. Lamarck holds a bachelor's degree in social science and a master's degree in management with an emphasis in organizational development, both from UC Irvine, and a master's degree in applied psychology from the University of Santa Monica. Well, those are the credentials of the author that we're going to be talking about today. Let me also just mention that, you know, if you're like me and you go to, you know, I'm kind of a seminar junkie. I like networking events. I like going to seminars and hearing what people have to say. Sometimes I agree. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm entertained. Sometimes I'm shocked. Sometimes I even learn something. Mark is one of the best presenters that I've had the opportunity of seeing perform in years. And I want to say the word perform because I sat there, listened to Mark talk to a room full of about 50 people for a good hour with no interruptions. And I mean, nobody was snoozing. People were writing as fast as they could write. It was absolutely fascinating. This guy knows his stuff and has some true original thinking to share. So that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about his book just a little bit. I say a little bit. It's 225 pages. I'm not going to read you any of it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to tell you what it says so you don't have to buy it. This is a book where I broke my own rule. My rule is I wasn't going to buy any more hardback books. Man, I just don't have any more space in my office or in the house for another hardback book. So I've been going to all electronic books for a number of months now. But, you know, listening to Mark, I knew this was a book that I had to have that I could touch, I could feel, I could underline, I could put my stickies on it, and that I could turn around and loan to somebody else when I felt the necessity or the ability to part with it for a few days or a few weeks. And I haven't. This is a great book. So, let's just talk about his concept. The title says, "Making Yourself Indispensable." Let's get some definitions. Mark talks about the difference between irreplaceable and indispensable, and his point is that these are not the same thing. While you can become indispensable in terms of your value, you are still not irreplaceable. He says, having a goal of being irreplaceable so that your existence alone benefits the company is the fastest way to become dispensable. Why? Because most smart organizations don't rely on heroes, but develop many people to be top performers. You know, I was glad to hear him make that distinction because irreplaceable sort of, in my mind, immediately connotates the person who has crafted little fiefdom, their little kingdom that hoards information and data that doesn't want to let you know what goes on inside the little black box, and therefore they guarantee their position in the organization by really never letting you see what goes on. It's sort of the epitome of the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain, working the valves and the whistles and who knows what's really going on there, and if we did, would we be disappointed? Well, that was kind of my feeling of irreplaceable, and I was really, frankly, kind of linking it to the word indispensable, but he makes a real clear distinction that they're different. He says that an indispensable leader develops other leaders. An indispensable employee is a person who contributes to the success of his or her team. An indispensable middle manager not only supports his or her department, but other departments as well. He says that your value to others is based on your contribution to others' success rather than the me-centered approach of most people who are trying to be irreplaceable. Now, let's just chew on that for a minute there, because I think that's a concept that's truly significant here. As a coach, I'm sitting in the audience listening to this concept. I'm going, okay, I no longer run an organization. I'm no longer a part of an organization as a senior manager. How does this concept of irreplaceable or indispensable apply to me? You know, and all of a sudden I had this flash when he said indispensable is a person, let me get it right here, indispensable is someone whose value is based on your contribution to others' success. What better of a great coach than somebody who has become indispensable to their client because the client's success has become more important than the coach's success? You know, we talk about this all the time. We talk about the client's agenda, but that's sort of the mechanic of it. You know, what we're talking about here is the heart, the reason of why you are a coach. Most people that I know, in fact, I can't think of a single coach that's in this business for the money. I don't know any coaches that aren't interested in making money. Let's speak about that. I don't know any coaches that aren't interested in making more money. But what I'm saying is I don't know any coaches that aren't in this in spite of the money, good or bad, what they want to make or what they need to make. They're in it because of the satisfaction that they get, because of the contribution that they make to their clients' lives. And that's what Mark's talking about here in this book when he talks about being indispensable. What a great position to be in. You know, one of the comments that I get many times from people relatively new to the coaching field, is how long do you keep a client? And I saw some of the preliminary results of the International Coach Federation's survey, which is coming out, I think, just very shortly here. But the executive summary was out, and there was a breakdown in there about the responses when they asked people, how long do you keep a client? And really, there wasn't much of a mass to the number of people that kept a client more than a year. And that's kind of typical in the way most coaches think about their practice, is that they think about the coaching assignment as being problem-driven, and that when the problem is solved, then the client no longer needs them. Now, this isn't a concept that shortchanges anybody, because the client comes to the coach with a problem, the coach works on it with the client goes away with a solution, the client's happy, he's got the solution, his return on investment was what or exceeded what he planned for, the coach walks away feeling satisfied with the assignment because he was able to help out and he met the client's needs. Sounds like a win-win, and in a lot of ways it is. But what about thinking big about this, which is a concept Mark also talks about? He calls it playing big. What about becoming such a great value to your client that you are indispensable? Clients that need you, want you, because of the value that you provide to them. Value being something greater than solving the immediate individual problem. Something that deals with their purpose, their passion, the big rock, the ultimate goal, whatever you want to call it. something beyond the day-to-day stuff. Wouldn't you love to be that coach that works with a client where the client sees that your value, the value of having conversations with you, the value of your thinking, the value of the perspectives that you help him achieve in looking at life and business through a different lens, the value that you provide by mirroring back to him what he's doing in a way that nobody else does, a value that he can't get anyplace else, and you become dispensable. How long is that contract going to go? So from a selfish point of view, I'm listening to what Mark's saying, and I'm going, hey, I like this indispensable concept as a coach. And what about those of you in the HR field or those executives? Doesn't the same thing apply? I mean, doesn't it apply for all of us, whether we are a consultant providing a service, a coach providing a service, an employee providing a service, and a senior executive providing a service, or even a business providing a service or product to the clients? Isn't the ultimate, the best place you could be, one where the value that the client that's receiving your product or services perceives such a high value that you have become indispensable, you or the service or the product has become indispensable? I know I could survive without my computer. I know that there is nothing that I do on the computer that I couldn't do without a computer. But if you took my computer, we would have a big long-term discussion about indispensable, because the computer is indispensable to me in the sense of the value that it gives me in our relationship. Boy, that sounds a little creepy. Well, that's what he's talking about. That's what a lot of the book is really based on. It's based upon this concept of becoming indispensable. And how do you become indispensable to your clients, your employees, your managers? It's by being accountable. And here again, he uses a different definition of accountable than what we usually think of. I mean, when somebody says accountable, and I saw our producer sort of shrink into himself and cringe as I said this word at the beginning of the program, as he's thinking accountable. Oh, those are those coaching sessions where Doug nags me about what I didn't do. Those are those sessions that I had when I worked in the corporate world where they wanted to know why I missed the deadlines. We're not talking about that kind of accountability. We're talking about accountability that is bigger than that, that centers around what Mark has identified as six separate items. And I'm sorry we're doing this in an audio version and not in a video podcast, but if you can imagine, he takes a circle and draws a small circle, a bullseye in the center, and calls that being accountable. And then from that, he's got six pies that surround that accountable definition in the center. And let me tell you what those are, and let's just talk for a minute about what it is, because it is the basis for what he says. If you are accountable in this sense, then you have become indispensable. The first I'm going to talk about is he talks about being purpose-driven rather than goal-driven. You know, we have heard a lot, and there are some great books out about a purpose-driven life, is one I'm thinking of right now. There are some great books about second half of life. They all make the assumption that you can become purpose-driven after you've become successful in a more measurable way. Mark does not draw that distinction at all. He talks about purpose-driven as it is the reason that you get up in the morning and you are excited going to do what you're going to do. You know, if we're planning out the 4th of July, if we're planning out your fishing trip, two associates of mine. One just got back from going to Alaska fishing. The other one, I think, is in Montana fishing. You talk about purpose-driven. When they were thinking of that time block that they were going to spend pursuing fishing, it was not goal-driven. Yes, they wanted to catch some fish. Yes, they wanted to get some time away. Yes, they wanted to disconnect from the iPad and the iPhone and all of those. They had a whole lot of goals. But mostly it was purpose-driven about something bigger, a passion for fishing that, frankly, as a non-fisherman, I had trouble understanding. You know, it was, when you asked them, it wasn't about catching the fish. It was about being out on the water. It was about listening to the wind blow. It was about throwing that lure out there just right so that it landed on the pond without scaring the fish away. There was a purpose that was bigger. And in business, we talk about that purpose maybe as being fulfillment of our client needs. It's not just delivering our package, but it's about delivering service or product that goes beyond, you know. There are companies that make life-saving devices that many people out there couldn't live a day, sometimes an hour, without those devices. Now, I'm sure that they, as a business person, have a goal to produce so many life-saving devices a day, a week, and ship them. I'm sure that's part of their goal plan. But I'm also sure that there is a bigger purpose to their business. Their purpose of their business, those that are really successful, has to do around saving lives. It has to do about creating a better environment. It has to do about creating a better quality of life for the patients or people that they serve. Those companies are the companies that are truly successful. They are the companies that people want to go work for. They are the Googles of the world. They are the March of Dimes of the world, will of the world. You know, and so many times we see this purpose-driven explanation better displayed when we are dealing with nonprofits, because nonprofits get people to come to work for them not because they pay them or not because they pay them well particularly, but because the people have a passion for the purpose of the organization. And that's what we're talking about here. So Mark says, number one, in terms of being accountable, is to understand that you're purpose-driven, not goal-driven. Number two, he calls play big. Now, play big doesn't mean, you know, the old Western expression of big hat, no cattle. It's not about putting on an air of being bigger than who you really are. What he talks about when he says play big is about honoring and sharing your talents with people. How many times do we hold back and not say what we think, not express an opinion about what we really feel that is going on in the conversation we're having? How many times do we not share something because it's not part of the contract, you know? The companies, the people that play big are those that aren't just delivering in accordance with the legal contract for services or products. They are businesses and people who are delivering to create satisfaction both for the client and personal satisfaction, and knowing that they have done and shared everything they're capable of doing and providing. That's what playing big is all about. And being accountable in Mark's definition, and again, I hate to put words in his mouth. I really want to tell you a number of times today to go buy the book and read it, Making Yourself Indispensable, because his explanation is better than mine. But I'm hoping that what I'm doing here is not taken away from his explanation. But I want to whet your appetite to make his definition of being accountable really is driven by those two primary things, purpose driven and play big. He also talks about being accountable in terms of being adaptable, which means you're not rigid. You're willing to bend. You're willing to modify. You're open to new ideas. You're open to new perspectives on things. He talks about being we-centered versus me-centered. We-centered meaning what's good for me and you, not just what's best for me. He talks about, and this one is really key for those of us in the coaching field, he talks about being priority focused, not activity focused. I think one of the biggest problems in business today is that people are activity focused. They are busy. They are working hard. They are putting in extra hours. They are being more productive in terms of activities that they're performing within a time frame. But the question you have to ask yourself for many of the companies that aren't doing as well as we expect is, are they priority focused? Are they working on the right things, or are they just keeping busy? And I don't want to imply that we have a bunch of people out there, myself included, who are just doing busy work. You know, we're putting on a pretense of looking business busy. I'm talking about, and let's talk about myself here, I'm talking about the days that I feel like I gave it 100% because I did a lot of activities today. You know, I went through my to-do list. I checked them all off for once, but I wasn't priority focused in the sense that the things I spent my time on weren't the things that are really important. We're going back to sort of the Covey concept of which quadrant, you know, you're working in, the urgent or the important. And we spend too much time on the urgent and not enough time on the important, which has the long-term impact. And that's what Mark's getting at here in this being accountable. It's being priority focused. The last part of his pie that surrounds this definition of being accountable is valuing others. The alternative to that is disregarding others. And we've all dealt with people who didn't have much respect for others' opinions. And what we're talking about here is if you want to be truly accountable in a positive way to people, then you want them to know that you value their opinion, you value their efforts. So being accountable, in his definition, as I understand it, is not so much the me-centered definition of accountability. It is the definition that says that, let me get this right, being accountable is not the me-centered definition that them just getting things done. It is the we-centered definition of, am I accountable in the sense of, am I providing everything I'm capable of providing beyond expectations to the people that I'm dealing with? Am I doing that by being purpose-driven with what really motivates me in life and business here? Am I playing big by sharing the talents that I have? Am I being adaptable rather than rigid? Am I thinking about other people rather than just me? Am I truly priority focused, activity focused? And am I respecting others' values? Now, you know, that sounds like a simple concept, but I'll tell you, I have not done justice to Mark's book, because behind those six elements of being accountable, he has a wealth of colorful examples that really better explain it than I have done here. He has got a wealth of exercises and tips, exercises that you can go through and sort of uncover where you really are in this equation, and some tips of how to get yourself modified if you're not at the place that you'd like to be in these areas. So really, this is a very, very brief synopsis. This is like saying the world's round, you don't need to know anything more about it. And boy, would some astronomer come unglued and go, that doesn't begin to explain what the world or what it is. That's kind of what I've done to this part of his book, but I really want you to think about it and get to it. It is a great concept, and there is a lot of meat behind each one of these items. You know, a balance of the book, or a great portion of the balance of the book, has to do with his system for becoming accountable or for becoming indispensable. And he sort of defines it by creating a figure eight, with the upper part of the figure eight being what he calls an accountability loop. You sort of start in the center, and then you can go counterclockwise either to the upper portion in the accountability loop, or you can go clockwise in the lower portion to the victim portion of the loop. And I want to just sort of touch on that because I think it will give you a sense of what he's talking about here in becoming, how to implement. Once he's defined what being indispensable is and being accountable, then he very clearly lays out a system for how to achieve it. And that's one of the things I really like about this book. I have read some great books that have really had some impactful ideas presented that made me think, that shattered some of my preconceived ideas, but then left me with no suggestions as to how to implement it. And being the kind of lazy guy that I am, I really wanted to know, well, gee, the author spent all this time developing this concept. Do they not have an idea or a clue of how I might implement it? Mark does have an idea. He does have a clue. He has a very specific system for how you might implement that. So let's just talk about the victim loop. You know, he starts out as it would with, you have the same starting point in whether you're going to be victim or going to become accountable. And that's, there's usually a situation, a problem that makes you stop and think. The first thing you stop and think is what are your intentions with this problem? And right on the surface, whether you consciously do this or subconsciously do it, you know, you think about the fact somebody says there's a problem, you're in a meeting, they've walked into your office, whatever, they lay out a problem, and you first, it's your intentions of what you're going to do with that problem happen almost in the blink of an eye. Your intentions are one of two choices. You're going to be accountable for this issue, or you're not going to be accountable for the issue. You're going to get involved, or you're not going to get involved. And the victim loop is when we hear about a problem and our immediate intention is to not be accountable to this. And, you know, intentions is a great word. And one of the things I want to share with you, I just had, Mark had some great quotes in his book that he used to sort of emphasize some of his definitions. And when he talked about intentions, he had a quote from the book, The Little Prince. And it went this way. If you want to build a ship, don't drum up people to collect wood and don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. That's what intentions are all about. That's what purpose is about. It's not about the tasks. It's about a bigger picture on it. So let's proceed with the victim loop. My intention is to not be accountable. I don't want to get involved. I'm not looking to go to sea. So I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to make a choice to not be involved in this. The next step is I'm going to ignore the problem. I might even ignore that there even is a problem. I don't see that there's a problem there. And if somebody insists on pointing out to me that there is a problem there, I'm going to sort of deny it. Go into denial. I'm going to go, it's not my problem. You know, and again, Mark has a great quote that I want to tie to this. It's by Irvin Ball, and it goes, most of us can read the writing on the wall, but we just assume it's addressed to someone else. I kind of got a real good chuckle out of that, and I'm going to have to use that one some more. You know, we see the issue, but we don't see that it's our issue. We clearly define ourselves out of the area of responsibility, out of the area of accountability. So denial. The next step is we blame. It's, hey, not only do I not see that there's a problem, it's not my problem. And now if there is a problem, hey, it's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. And then I begin to rationalize. Why is it somebody else's problem? I have evidence that proves this is another department's problem. It's not my problem. And I'm going to resist any attempts you make to get me involved. I don't want to get involved. You're not my boss. It's not my area of responsibility. I don't have time to do it. You know, there's a million things. And if none of those things work, then my ultimate defense in this victim loop is I'm going to hide. I'm going to hide by just avoiding dealing with the problem. You can assign it to me. I'll never do it. You can try to get me to respond to things, to raise my hand, to volunteer. I'm not going to ever do it. So that is kind of the victim loop that that Mark defines in this this area. It goes from first identifying there's a situation, then your intentions, which is to, in this case, to not be involved, not be accountable, making the choice to not be involved, ignoring what the that there is a problem, denying that it's your problem, blaming it on other people, that it's their fault, not yours, and that's why you shouldn't have to get involved, rationalizing why it's not your problem and why somebody else should be involved in it, resisting any attempts to to get you involved in it, and then ultimately just hiding from the whole issue, either physically hiding or mentally hiding from it. And this loop is endless. We go through it over and over. So this is the opposite, the antithesis of being accountable. And how many times have we sort of taken this attitude, maybe not on the whole job, but on parts of the job, maybe not on a whole problem, but issues. It's sort of like, I don't have time for this now. It's not my issue. Well, it's an issue. It's there. Somebody brought it to you. Are you going to be me-centered or we-centered on this issue? Are you going to be adaptable? Are you ready to play big? Maybe they brought it to you because you've got the skill set to solve it. Why would you deny them access to that skill set? It's sort of like locking up the tool bin so that the guys out on the floor can't get at the tools to work on the machines, and but still wanting to hold them accountable for making the machines run on a regular basis. Well, so much for the victim loop. Where we'd like to go is the accountability loop, and this is really what I want to talk about for a few minutes here. You start out with the same situation, a problem or an issue. You then develop an intention to become accountable for it. And why would you do that? You would do it because it's usually getting involved becomes a combination of your purpose and playing big. In other words, purpose goes beyond goals and tasks. If my purpose is to help this company, if my purpose is to help the client, then I'm not going to be limited by the fact that the clock ticked down and we don't have any more time to deal with that issue. Deal with it on your own. Or, you know, I'm not going to, you know, if I tell them that, yeah, I could help you with this, but it would require me spending more time. I'd have to do some research. I'd have to do this or that. But I don't want to play big. I don't want to share my talents with them. You know, that's the opposite of what we want to do here. Being accountable is a matter of going, hey, part of my purpose in life is to help, as a coach, is to help people with these things. Part of my purpose as a manager is to help it. Part of my purpose as a business is to help my clients use my product or services more efficiently, more to reach their desired results. So that accountability has to do with identifying why you would be involved. It's not just because you want to put out a problem. It's because this issue matches your purpose. It allows you to play big. So you've made that choice. You recognize that there's a problem. You take ownership of the issue. And then the key thing, and I hadn't seen this in any real definitions of accountability before, and really I want to acknowledge Mark for putting it in there, is you forgive. You forgive yourself and you forgive others. It's pretty hard to solve an issue. It's pretty hard to be we-centered on a problem if you are laying blame in the sense of, oh, I may not be pointing a finger and saying it's your fault, but hey, we both know that I'm not going to forgive you, that you screwed this up and I'm not happy about it. You need to forgive, whether it's yourself or others. That is a key part of what you're doing. And a key part of that forgiveness is the next element, and that's to self-examine. How did you maybe contribute to this problem? Maybe you did it overtly. Maybe you did it covertly. Maybe you did it without any deliberate intentions, but either way, you did it. So you want to take a hard look at, have you contributed to this problem? And, you know, in the coaching work and in the HR work that so many of you do, where you are involved in trying to handle conflicts between two individuals or departments, one of the key things that goes towards solving that is when you can get both parties to acknowledge how they have themselves contributed to the problem. I'm not saying that they have to accept total responsibility, but in most cases, both parties usually made some contribution to creating the problem. And the next step on this this accountability loop is to learn. What did you learn from this issue? What can you do differently? How are you going to apply what you see going on now, what you recognize, what you've forgiven, what you've sort of self-examined? How are you going to take that information, put it into a learning mode so that it doesn't happen again? Otherwise, you're the hamster on the treadmill going round and round, solving the same problem over and over again. And of course, the last step, which would be the obvious one in an ability to take action. You take actions to implement your new solutions so that you can deal with the challenge and that you can learn. That's what this is all about. It's about creating a loop of being accountable, of servicing, of providing within the definitions of purpose-driven, playing big, being adaptable, being we-centered, being priority-focused, and being valuable or valuing others. If you can do all of that, then what you've done is you have become indispensable to the people that you deal with. And that kind of brings me to an end. It is not the end of this discussion. This discussion needs to continue by you reading the book. Hopefully, this is the beginning of a discussion for you, the same way it was with me yesterday when I met Mark and I heard him talk about his book. It was the beginning for me of a new way of looking at things, a new system for dealing with issues that I think I'm just beginning to scratch the surface on. And I don't present this as somebody that has the answer. I present this as somebody that has discovered a light, and I want to direct you to it so that you also can look at it and use it. Well, let me sort of leave the book here as we get ready to sign off today. Let me leave you with a quote that was in Mark's book by Alvin Toffler. Okay? Are you ready? The quote is, "The illiterate of the 21st century will not be those who cannot read or write, but those who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn." You know, and that's what we're talking about. There is no way today in our environment, in our society, in our economy, to think that we going to, through school, through seminars, through education, that we are going to grasp the magic learning that's going to be good for the next 20 years going forward. It probably won't even be good for the next year going forward. It may not last us through the month. Being successful, getting full satisfaction out of what you do, is going to be a matter of constantly unlearning and relearning to be able to be productive in a constantly changing environment. Well, I hope that I've whetted your appetite for this book, making yourself indispensable. Once a month, I sort of take time out from talking to our coaching and HR guests and want to share with you some of my thoughts. Usually they're inspired by somebody else's, but that's okay. I don't mind passing on other great ideas. So, you know, be sure to tune in again. We're on the air live every Thursday, 4 o'clock, octalkradio.net. Also look for our weekly newsletters on Wednesdays to find out more about our guests and our program. If you're not getting this weekly, go to our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Sign up, drop me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. We will not be on the air next week, 4th of July celebration, kind of middle of the week, 4th of July. Nobody knows what day they're taking off. It looks to me like everybody's taking every day off. The day before, the day after, and anything that leads up to or follows. So we're going to be dark next week, but we'll be back to you again the week after that. This is Doug Gefeller signing off. I hope you enjoyed the show today, that the discussion or the information has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use to identify and achieve your goals.
You've been listening to the only show that looks at business from a different perspective, the Coaching Perspective, with your host, Master Certified Business Coach, Doug DeFeller.